This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. You are listening to Love in the 21st Century, a talk show to discuss the philosophical to practical look of love, from romantic relationships to connection with humanity. One third dating insights, one third self-love guide, one third compassion training. This is your host, Jonah Richman, with co-hosts Adam Mose and Tammy Wichman.
Yay.
We are going to be introing this show with a song about the kind of more global family vibe. We are talking about love and family here for the last few weeks, and that's what we're going to continue on tonight.
Love in the 21st Century is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by the Chico Chamber of Commerce, committed to enhancing the economic vitality of Chico for its businesses and residents. For more information about chambers, impact and opportunities, and to join, visit chicochamber.com or call 891-5556. Again, this is Love in the 21st Century, and it's your host, Jonah Richman. This week's program, we will be discussing why families need larger communities with guest Cedar Selenite and a special appearance by my daughters, Maya and Corinne Richman, sharing what it was like to grow up in the Grub Cooperative, a former intentional community and farm in South Chico. So this episode was inspired by Cedar Selenite. And when she first shared this topic, I got excited because, as I just shared, my daughters and I lived in an intentional community for 6 years. And I have this feeling that community is just what we need to get through.
Through raising children. Cedar, are you on the line?
Cedar, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, great. So this topic was inspired by you. We had a conversation the other night, and we were discussing why families need larger communities. And I'd like to hear what is your feelings on this?
Well, I came to this through a process of raising three kids alone for a really long time. I was married, but he was at work most of the time, and I found myself alone with three small children, a lot of the time. And I was trying all of these wonderful things. I was reading about Waldorf. We were doing circles. I was reading about NBC and trying to give them empathy. And it was, all these wonderful things. But I found that every day I was just losing my cool. And it would happen several times a day, I didn't have the inner strength to do the whole thing myself. And then over the years, I came to the conclusion that, it works so much better when I have extended family around me, or when, I have a group of people who are really loving and supportive, to talk to for emotional support. And then also coinciding with that, I've had a spiritual practice, and I've just felt led more and more toward a vision of joining together with small groups of people and navigating the great turning together in small groups.
And you said that you've lived in two intentional communities. Would you share what those were?
Sure. I divorced in 2013, and I helped start an NBC house, which is nonviolent communication. We got together and decided to start an intentional community based on the work of Marshall Rosenberg and nonviolent communication. So we led our meetings in kind of a consensus style, NVC style way, and it's all about equality. And we made agreements about giving each other emotional support through empathy, and we call it kitchen empathy. Mm-hmm. And whenever anyone would have a problem or a conflict, we would use NVC to navigate that, or we would call somebody in to do a mediation for us, and on to with larger conflicts, we are exploring restorative circles, which is a restorative conflict resolution process that an NVC trainer came up with.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that was the first community. And then I found it difficult to have three teenagers in that intentional community in particular. It was a lot of women, a lot of people without children. And then more recently, I've helped start another community in town based on Gandhian principles of nonviolence.
Okay, great. And that's where you are now, is that right? You live in a community right now based on Gandhi?
Actually, right now I'm in a house nearby that community, and I'm helping start it, and we're working on projects together.
Okay, great.
In the Chapmantown neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. And what is it like? What's your sense of the value of having a larger community? Like I'm seeing this topic as being a kind of having to do with why the common family unit is possibly not enough, or maybe we can use more people or community or social network.
Yeah.
And I'm curious what you see as being the value of that.
I just see it as, you know, the nuclear family, just the way that we are so isolated in our society now. Most of us don't have extended family right in the same town, right nearby. And more and more people are working, and so we've become more and more isolated. We just don't have the resources in the home to raise children the way that we dream of. We might have these dreams, but we only have so many resources if only one person is home, or if nobody can stay home. And so with intentional community, you can live on less, and so it allows someone to stay home, or both people to stay home part-time. And then as well, there's so much more in the way of resources, like emotional resources. You know, if I'm having a hard time, I walk into the common space and there are three grown-ups there to talk to me, and one to maybe talk to my child. And it's dispersed. The difficulty is dispersed and there's more support.
Yeah, that sounds really sweet. That's similar to my experience living at Grub. So mm-hmm. Adam Mose, you're in the studio.
Yes.
And you decided to jump on this today. I'm curious what inspired you to...
Oh, just here helping out, support whatever way.
Yeah. Oh, okay, great. Do you have a take? I know you live in a house with your family, but I know you have close friends and community right around you.
Yeah, Sam, do you have semi-nuclear.
Yeah.
I'm transitionally... Uh-huh. Curious, this is a strange word, like nuclear. Where did that come? It seems like it came from the 50s when everyone
sounds
was crazy about the nuclear. But, I mean, it means like the little unit. But they say, it takes a village to raise a child. Boom.
A village.
We all know that.
Yeah.
And the beautiful thing was, even just Chico and the vibe, the community spiritedness of Chico, we found to be very nurturing and very supportive and an ideal place to raise our daughters. So, and like you were mentioning, the house next door was blessedly purchased by our best friends, who then opened it up and made it an intentional community, and it kind of spills over. We share potlucks and things like that every week, and there's some aunties and uncles like next door for our daughters. They feel the closeness with those folks. It's really helped. It really makes a difference over the years.
And what do you see as being the value of having extended community in a family?
It's basically like... evolutionarily speaking, you know, our human experience, 99.99%, we've been living in villages and small groups of families together helping each other out. So I think it's in our body to be able to relate more in an ongoing way with folks who are in a similar predicament. They're raising kids and, you know, the stuff that I needed to learn, I was getting from friends, you know, like years before it became a really important. I have to like learn it,
yeah,
get it, you know. There after teenage, you know, after the teenage years, we actually learn from others' experiences. I want to learn from other people's experiences and mistakes. And when I was a teenager, I wasn't really interested in that. But ever since then, I've gained, you know, by other people's things that they go through.
If I could chime in.
Yeah.
I found this topic to be really interesting and inspiring because of my lack of experience with community growing up. So I also grew up in Chico and was raised in a nuclear family, which is kind of a scary word, with two brothers and my parents. And it felt like a struggle a lot of the time for my parents, like as a kid, like just making sure that all the bases were covered and that we were taken care of. And that, you know, the connection with community like wasn't really there. My mother's family lives in Costa Rica, and all my father's family is kind of spread across the United States, kind of in that like American tradition style. And so it's like really these two different polar opposites of experience, like where my dad's used to kind of being in a disconnected sense from family, and my mom coming from this really like grounded, rooted community family. So growing up, I mean, it was noticeable. It was odd for me to go to family dinners with friends that had extended family. Holidays were always just my family. So growing up and then really creating that family in my community, because, you know, I think as this show is sort of trying to display, we cannot live solely isolated. We can try, but we don't really live very fully functioning if we do. Mm. There's just parts that end up not being as well developed. Mm-hmm. Our relationships, our social skills, just our hobbies and interests. I mean, really like that community, that family really comes in and makes a big play. For my personal life right now with my friends and family that I live with, I have a lot of like children and aunties and uncles shaped people come in through my house all the time. And it definitely has that really big family component to it, which is really nurturing, I think, for this time in my life as I'm, you know, getting older. I don't have any children. So as I'm like, you know, looking at that that lifestyle, it's really nurturing that part of me to be like, oh, yeah, this is what it feels like to be in a part of an extended family, because I didn't have that experience growing up. It's like the first time experience for me now. Mm.
I can relate to that. So one thing that comes to mind with this topic is the idea of isolation.
Mm-hmm.
And and I know for me, I've had brief times in my life where I've felt isolated as an individual. But I also have this sense that and I experienced it somewhat when my daughters were first born. Their mother and I lived with just the three of us, and it was probably an extension of my own sense of isolation. But I have this feeling like we get into families or we grow up, and sometimes we have the idea that if we find the right partner, we might have the non-isolated, the non-loneliness that we want, the sense of connection and love that we want to fulfill us. But I think sometimes one person isn't enough, or even one family with kids isn't quite enough. Like we get where if you're around each other all the time, and you're not if anyone in the family is home a lot of the time, just seeing their partner or their kids is still creates that sense of isolation. And I have this belief that we need more. When the mother of my children and I separated when they were a year and a half, about 9 years ago, I decided at that point that I was really wanting to find community, and like a lot of community, have groups of people that I can spend time with and see every day and develop bonds with and trust. And so my daughters and I moved into the Grub Cooperative when they were 3 years old. It was 2007, late 2007, and I felt it was a great experience for us and my girls to grow up in. And I'm really excited that my daughters Maya and Corinne are in the studio today. And I'd like to give them an opportunity to share what it was like to spend 6 years of their life living with lots of other kids and adults. Would you like to start, Corinne?
I really liked that there were a lot of people around, and I liked that there were a lot of things to do and kids to play with. And I liked how everyone helped out and worked together to do things.
That's great.
Yeah. How about you, Maya?
I liked how there's a lot of kids, and I liked how there's a lot of people, like, helping out and making where we lived a better place, and it was really, really fun for a long time, and yeah.
That's great. Did you ever find yourself lonely or bored while you were there?
Well, when everyone was at work and there's no kids around to play with, I was just and I finished all my homework. I was I don't really have anything to do, really.
But that didn't happen so often when we lived with so many people.
Nope.
I've noticed, I think, since we moved out of there, the Grub Cooperative is an intentional community that was on the south end of Chico. And it was there for 7 years, and it ended just this past October. We've all moved out and spread apart. And I've noticed with you two that you tell me you're bored more often now that we don't have so many friends and family and people to play with and connect with. Does that seem true?
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And another thing that we used to do was we didn't ever watch television when we lived there because there was so many things to do.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Cedar is calling in. Are you still there, Cedar?
Yes, I'm here.
So I'm curious, how was it for your children living in intentional communities?
Well, my older boys they were teenagers when we moved in, and their attitude was kind of we didn't ask to move into intentional community, and so at first they were kind of weirded out by it. But then it turned out to be really fun for them in some ways, because we had this really big 8-bedroom house on the NBC house is still there in the avenues. And for some reason, the way it was built, it was really soundproof. And they had 2 bedrooms, and they had their teenage friends over all the time, every weekend that they were with me. And they would have their friends over and have the best time, and it didn't seem to bother anyone. So they ended up kind of liking it, and they were friendly with the other people in the house. I don't think that they fully bought in, you know, to the idea of intentional community,
mm-hmm.
but they enjoyed it for their own reasons. But then my younger daughter, she loved it. She is 12 now, and she loved overhearing all of the adult conversations and meeting all of the interesting people who would come by, and she liked it. Plus, I think her most favorite thing was that the NBC house is really into cats. And so we had 5 cats there, and so she was in heaven.
Mm. One of the things I remember living in community with my daughters is that they got to experience adults, like you were saying, having adult conversations, and part of that included conflict and difficulty and just figuring out how to live together and get along. And those are all things that I imagine are really valuable for children to experience and witness. A lot of the times as adults, I think we do that in our jobs, where we leave the home and we learn and we work on the process of getting along with other adults outside of the view of our children, or we do it only with our partner. But for them to see that, I think is really valuable for us, for the kids.
I think that Grace, my youngest daughter, was especially interested in the conversations about feminism. And these were conversations that I would not have been able to have just myself necessarily with her or myself with someone else. The conversations that were stimulated in that house were fascinating and deep, and there were a lot of people who were very educated who were able to bounce off each other. And the same thing with discussions about nonviolent communication and about conflict and about all kinds of things that, you know, I couldn't have provided by myself. Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious for you, Cedar, or anyone else in the studio, what do you think are ways that families can find more community and connection? We've been talking about intentional communities or having neighbors, but what are some other ways that we can have more people to bounce off of and to connect with and get?
I could say how my wife and I met. It's kind of interesting. The Rainbow Family, it's called a family because anyone who shows up at the Rainbow Gathering is considered family, brothers and sisters, kids, and father mothers. Mm. And our kids were raised going to Rainbow Families every summer. So that's what I mean, like transitional nuclear. Mm-hmm. So it's very enriching, you know, to go out and camp with a couple hundred people in the woods.
Yeah,
for a week or two at a time.
I went to the Rainbow Gathering once, and I remember showing up. Everyone says, "Welcome home."
Welcome home.
As you show up there.
That's right. And I think Burning Man.
One that I've seen from being in some